Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Talk That Tech, the I think we're having some technical difficulties this morning, but we work through that again.
Lord.
It's all good. Let's run it back one more time. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Talk That Tech, the
number one tech morning show in the world. Y'all already know that, though, so let's get it.
Numero uno. Man, how was your weekend, Brother Trey? Everything well?
The weekend was copacetic. Did I say that right?
No, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Got some rest in. Visited some friends. One of our good friends got their master's, and so they had a huge party. And so we went out to celebrate that, and give kudos to such a huge accomplishment. Obviously, Sunday went to church. Had a good time. Went out to dinner with some cousins of mine. Had great conversations, and we're in the building bright and early this morning, man.
Yes, how about you? It was good, man. But before I even get there, let me go to the family in the chat. We got Mitch in the building. He says, "Good morning, good morning, good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, good morning.
Glad to see you here. You see what your conversations about hats have done to our brother? He decided to bring it on out. Because this is like for the first time you're not wearing a hat on the show.
Is that true?
I think it is. Mitch, let me know in the conversation because I think
what happened
to do with that.
What happened the other day?
Last week we talked about hats, and we talked about and Scott, and in fact, let me go right to it because Scott just brought it up. So first of all, he says peace and blessings, family. Darcel's in the building. He says good morning, fam. And Mitch says I know we all joke hard. And then he says, my butt, Trey, you trying to prove them guys wrong. He 86 the hat. Remember last week we talked about that. Last week we talked about the fact that you were like, okay, every time we see you have a hat on. Then they were getting like, they asked like if you had hair and stuff like that, remember? And I defended you and I said, no, my brother got some great hair. Look at it.
Listen, I'm joking with you, Joseph. I remember all that. Yeah, I remember that conversation. You think I was gonna let him do me like that? Well, guess what? That's all they get. That's all they get. I got one for the day, that's all they gonna get. Did you really think he was gonna get the whole episode?
Oh man, I'm dying. Oh, Mitch, come back. He said, I know we all joke, have fun, learn, etc. But you two are doing amazing. Oh, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that, dog.
You got the uncapped hat on. I'm not the only one that brings that hat up. It's Ralph, not me. Oh, it's Ralph. Oh, it's Mitch. That's true. Oh, it's Ralph this time.
Yeah, see? That's true.
See, where's Ralph at? We gotta talk to the brother. Scott says Saturday also, bro. Ralph said it. Yeah, that's right. Tech Coach Ralph did say that. I forgot.
I remember. I was joking. I was acting like I didn't remember. I remember everything. elephant brain over here, man.
He said, "Let me put on a cap for y'all."
Shout out to Zoya
and get uncapped. Oh man, yo, what's up, Ty? Ty's in the building as well. He says, "There's a hat." There is a hat. Oh man. That was funny.
We had to have a little comedy in the morning, you know.
Of course.
Had to get the brains running.
Of course. And this is you won't catch these stuff unless you continue to watch the show. So y'all that are faithful, go ahead and share this with others that may have not woken up this morning because they had a good time enjoying the nice weather yesterday. At least in my neck of the woods, it was nice.
Oh, bro, it was so good here. Like, the wind was, it was a slight breeze. Sun, 70s. Oh, man. Ooh. For a minute there, I thought I was in California. I thought I was paying that sunshine tax, man. And then I saw a guy on a horse.
Giddy up.
Yeah.
You know what time it is.
Yeah, then I realized, no, I'm in Fort Worth.
Love it, man. Mitch said, "Oh, Trey, I'll be moving on once I say something on to the next." He's like, "I'm not even. I didn't even remember myself." If I
said, yeah, Mitch is in and out with him.
Oh man, well, real quickly, my weekend was a long one. You know, earlier this week I had a minor surgery, but I was concerned. I had some complications, the doctors as well, so I went into the ER like Friday, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna, you know, push through, and I felt better, and then I did a couple, you know, coaching calls and shows on Saturday, and I rested, and then Sunday I was just singing all day. Like multiple services and stuff, but no, it was a great weekend. I really had a good time, so yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's wow, awesome. Mitch brought up something very interesting. I know that it's a blizzard in some parts of Cali right now. That's crazy. Oh. I didn't know that. I gotta look that up.
Are they even supposed to be getting blizzards, man?
Well, here's the thing. California's landmass is so vast that in the north, yeah, they have skiing.
You know, okay, yeah, that's yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Operation Tech Takeover says, hey, Mitch forgets stuff unless it's about Apple.
Oh, that's fact.
That's fact. Mitch said, nope, that's not true. He's trying to defend himself. That's hilarious. Oh, he's like, I appled up. I got two apples. Eve could choose which one she wants to bite from. I got two of them.
I didn't even say anything. I just put it up there. That was for Mitch only. Mitch only. Everybody.
Oh man, but we got a show today. I tell you, yeah, we got everything from Elon suing OpenAI and Instagram hackathon, which you might want to be aware of for your own safety as well, and big bets. And we're going to talk about all these subjects and more today. But the first question that we had for you, which I thought was a really good one, was what is the best piece of advice you have ever gotten from work? I'm going to repeat it again. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever gotten at work? You can go with yours. You had a good one too. You had a good one.
Oh man, no, you know, it's one that I've talked about before for sure. You know, when I was 20, I was like 21, man, 21, just getting started in like corporate America and stuff. And I was blessed enough to have a mentor, man, that was in his like late 50s. And, you know, he was like going on his way out while I was coming in. And so one of his things was, he was like, we sat right next to each other. He opened up, black man, by the way, opened up his drawer. He was like, he's like, "Hey, Trey," he pulled a book out. He was like, "Let me get you one of these." And he opened it up and he showed me, you know, he was showing me all the different things. And basically what it boiled down to was what they call today one of those brag books. And so, you know, he was just letting me know I need to make sure that I'm writing down everything that they're having me do, all the things that are outside of, you know, the scope of what I was supposed to do, like not complain about, "Hey, that's not my job" or anything like that. Do the job, do it well, but make sure you record it and take down those things that you've done so that you can have that at the end. And then I guess one bonus one, leave these skeezers alone.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone. It's always good to have somebody like that at the job. Yeah, they kind of stand up for you and say, "Hey, listen, young blood. This is what
that's literally how it was, man." And he taught me the suit game as well. He did a lot of things with Nordstrom's and for Nordstrom's men, and I think some other places. And he really broke it down for me on the suit game. And so, yeah, I'm forever grateful for him, man.
Wow. That's special. I agree. A brag book is so important. And I think for me, one of the biggest things I learned by being on the job is, you know, I mean, there's a couple of things, right? There's a, you know, check two, check three times before you cut, right? You know, in regards to just kind of putting things out, which is something I'm still working on. But I think for me personally, one of the things that I really kind of was like, you know what, this is something I really want to focus in on is networking internally, honestly, because sometimes it could be like, yeah, I just want to just do my job, clock out, and I'm good. But when you don't realize that you have to also kind of navigate the waters of the job, get people to know mm-hmm. who you are, some capacity, and really try to shine while you're there, then that could also, that, you know, and sometimes I don't, I'm be honest with you, I'm like an ambivert. Like I'm like, when the lights are on, I could put it out there, but when the lights are off, I'm tired. I just want to charge my batteries. But sometimes you got to put yourself out there and you got to say, you know what? Let me learn. Let me kind of connect with people. Let me kind of really kind of put myself in that position to do so. And it really worked out well for me. So that absolutely is so true.
It's necessary.
Let me see what the comment section says. Let me see. We got Darcel in the building. Do your job and own it. Do not accommodate others. Stand up for yourself and own your role.
Facts. That's a good one.
Yeah. And just a reminder, y'all, especially on my side, I have here a link here that you could always call into the show if you want to call in. And listen, if this is a segment that you're like, man, I want to talk about this thing, but we passed it, don't worry. It's all good. We can always go back to it if there's something that was really pressing on your mind that we could talk about for sure. So definitely go ahead and feel free to call into the show and we could definitely chat about it for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one for this morning in regards to what you learned. And so, the question is, like, what are some good things that you've learned? I think that's been definitely one that I found to be very important.
Huge, man.
Well, brother, I'm going to pass it to you about this, man, because you and I were talking about this yesterday. You were able to shine a light on Elon Musk's OpenAI.
Crazy, bro. First of all, two things, okay? Have y'all ever found out that somebody was involved in something that you had no clue about and you was like, wait a minute, you were in that? You had something to do with that? Mm-mm. That's how I felt with this one. And then two, I'm not going to say the term, but there was a term growing up that, when you give somebody something and then you decide, you know what, I want that back. I'm not going to say the term because I don't know, right? But
I know the term, but I won't say it either.
They know the term as well. But listen, y'all, we wanted to start by talking about Elon Musk today, and again, right, on how he is now suing OpenAI. And if you don't know who OpenAI is, they're the guys and women over ChatGPT. I know you know what that is. But the basics of it, man, is he's suing them, and there's some allegations of copyright infringement and some privacy law violations. But the main thing here is, y'all, Elon Musk, he's saying, hey, you know what? I want OpenAI to go back to what they originally were. And because of that, I want my investment back that I gave for restitution for his investment in the organization. He wants it back. And he's saying that OpenAI has really shifted their focus from, you know, transparency and openness to commercializing all of this information. And now they're collaborating with Microsoft, and it's all about the money. Show me the money. Exactly. And so the lawsuit is really just questioning the capabilities of OpenAI's GPT-4 model, suggesting that it lacks the reasoning ability claimed by the organization. And now they're basically arguing for a paradigm shift away from the large language models like ChatGPT to neurosymbolic AI to achieve artificial general intelligence, or AGI. So basically he's like, listen, y'all were supposed to be a research group that was all for the people, giving up all the juice, right? Giving it all for free. And now y'all doing these deals with Microsoft, and this is becoming about money. I want my investment back. I'm suing y'all. I don't know if do y'all think that's right? Do y'all think that's okay? Is it okay to change your mind or to pivot from an original onset in business? Is that okay?
That's a great question. That's a great question, because when I first saw this, I'm like, Elon Musk was a part of OpenAI. And then too. I read it a little bit and I was like, you know what? If they originally said that this is be X, Y, and Z, and there was no sort of like conversation about how, hey, we're switching things up here. I mean, he could feel bamboozled a little bit, you know.
Right, right.
He could feel like, hey, listen, this is not the mission. We were supposed to be the next Wikipedia. but now you're trying to go all corporate. And now you're valued at eight. Or he could just basically have been like, listen, did he pull out of that of OpenAI earlier on?
So yeah, he hadn't been a part of it. He just I guess he was just like an early investor, and you know, he was a part of it like early on, and then he kind of I guess allowed them to, you know, have the reins and do all of that. But now he's like, hold on, y'all doing these big deals with Microsoft. These big value these big evaluations. Hold on now. We didn't talk about this when I gave y'all that seed money.
Mm.
How you know I wasn't trying to get to this bag that y'all are getting into right now? Because y'all know Elon, he gonna try and it makes me think now, like, yo, I need to really do some digging on a lot of these larger new companies just to see like who's really backing a little bit, because you have no idea, right? That I had no idea Elon was even a remotely a part of OpenAI and that he even had anything to do with it. So it's almost like, man, y'all have y'all hands in everything, and it makes sense. Right? It makes sense. Like when you have as much money and resources that a lot of the big people have, they get first dibs on a lot of these, you know, new ventures and things like that. So they come to them first. And so that's why when you start hearing the stories about, oh yeah, I passed on Twitter or I passed on Facebook, and you know, they're, you know, a little salty about it, but it's because they got first dibs. And I think that was a big thing, you know, back last year, late last year when MGM Grand and all them got hacked.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, well, y'all know y'all get first dibs on all the cybersecurity stuff, but y'all want to keep the old stuff and go with that. Yeah. And you know, they get first dibs. Like they come to them first. So anyways, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's right or not. Because again, they have terms and agreements, and if they didn't keep those terms and agreements, it is my money now. So, I don't know.
You better have my money, right? And we have some responses here as well that we could definitely say. But the question again is Elon Musk right for suing OpenAI? Let's go to the comment section right now. Kareem is in the building. Good morning, brother. Good morning, Kareem.
Hey.
Good to see you, sir. And then we have NC Worker. Good morning, everyone, well. Mitch said, you know what? All right, we got another one in the building, Ors. Williams, we got good morning, all. Good morning.
Good morning.
But Mitch said a good point there. He says, I think if there was a contract, then definitely wrong. So if there was a contract, then definitely wrong.
And that's what I'm saying.
You know, yeah, if the paperwork in there and they had basically violated that paperwork, then he has grounds to stand on. Go ahead.
What if he gave that money? Because sometimes, you know, certain laws can allow for certain breaks and stuff like that. Like, what if, because it was considered research, the money that Elon gave was now a write-off, but now, since they've changed, I don't know. I'm just talking. Like, but now, because they switched over, now that money is not considered a write-off, and now, you know, I'm going to have to pay some extra ducats during tax time, you know. So you just never know, man.
Yeah, that's another thing too. And then Mitch also added, but that's like someone asking to borrow money for the rent, then you find out they went on vacation, so now you want your money back.
That's a fact.
Mitch, that's, you got a fact. Good point. Man, like, if I give you money for a certain purpose and a cause and a reason, and then you come back later, be like, yo, I just won the lottery, and like, oh, that's great. With what money? That was the money you gave me, but it's all good. You know, you gave me, you know, I thought I was gonna pay my rent,
man.
But I was the ticket was there, I had a scratch off. And now you'd be like, okay, so hot. Let's talk about this now. You got enough to pay me back, right? and some with interest. Like that was the original agreement.
That's
a good point, Mitch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going with that one now. Yeah, that's what happened, man. That's the feeling. The feeling of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And why I gave you that money, man.
Yeah, yeah. I would feel a little salty too. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah,
I felt a little salty. Oh man. I have all these lawsuits. He's trying to recoup some of that money. Yeah, $80 billion valuation, and they're not even public yet. They're still a startup.
Not even public.
Jeez.
Can't even get in.
Oh my goodness gracious. LaTroy said, he said, good morning, my tech peeps. Good morning.
Yo, what's going on, LaTroy?
Thank you for rocking with us, man. Oh man. So that, yeah, y'all, I definitely hear what y'all are saying. Is Elon Musk, you know, is he right for doing that? Is Elon Musk right for suing? Time will tell, but
exactly, but
we have some really good points here. So I definitely appreciate everybody sharing their viewpoint on that. And what we're going to do right now, we're just going to switch it up and we're going to go to our friendly favorite topic. And if it's not your favorite topic, let us know. But I currently like it, though, which is called our bulletin board here, where basically we kind of go ahead and we share different events that are happening that could possibly be happening in your neck of the woods. Because in 2024, y'all, we are outside. And I think that it's a good thing to do. I'm not going to do too many of them, but I'm going to do enough that y'all could be able to see and say, huh, maybe I can go to that. Maybe I may not. But we want to be able to share this with you. So first to the stage, we have none other than this event that's going to be happening in St. Louis. Let me put up right here in St. Louis. This is all called BDPA. And they have somebody meet Maurice Mahone, President and Executive Board. The BDPA is in St. Louis chapter. It's going to be happening March 7th at 5-7 p.m. in Berkeley, Missouri. BDPA, you definitely want to check them out. They are helping in a lot of different areas. And so if you are in the region, know that this event is free. So that's a good thing to check out if you are interested in all they have to offer. Now, this one might be something that a lot of people might be more familiar with, but this is DiversiTech. But they have a DiversiTech Connect that's actually in Miami. Unfortunately, it's only a few more tickets left. It is free, but there are only a few more tickets left. This is provided by Shannon and Trabaja. So check it out. Thursday, March 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. Again, this is going to be in Miami. And everything that we have on this show right now, just so y'all are reminded, this is powered by Black Tech Global. So go to blacktechglobal.com. if you are looking for more events within your area. And after this, we have an event that's actually happening March 10th. This is happening March 10th in Newton, Massachusetts. And it costs about $15 to $40 for this event, which is Women in STEM Empowerment Brunch. It's very popular, and the ticket sales end very soon. So if you are in the area, it's between $15 and $40, depending on what kind of ticket you get. But you go ahead and check that out. And this will be in Newton, Massachusetts. If you are in the area, a woman looking to have a brunch who's in STEM, this will be a great opportunity for you to be a part of that as well. And let me go back because my screen disappeared. I was like talking and I didn't realize that. But we have another one as well. This is a Black Tech Mafia, the Council Series, which is going to be about 2852, very specific. But that's the amount that you pay for Wednesday, March 13th. This is next week, which is going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. Join the Black Tech Mafia for an epic in-person event, The State of AI. We have an expert panel of technologists in the AI space. So if you're interested in AI, this is definitely the event that you want to check out if you are in that region. Again, this is going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're rounding it up, y'all, with two more events here. One is in March 14th. That's going to actually be called Celebrating Her Story, Women in Tech Discussion and Recruiter Mixer. So if you're looking to meet some recruiters and talk to them about some possibilities, that's available as well. $20 to $70. That's going to be in Dallas, Texas, DFW stand up. So it's in Dallas, Texas, if you're interested in that. And it's produced by Byte, Break Into Tech Events. So definitely check that out if this is something that you believe you'll be interested in. Last but not least, there's Black Business is Good Business. And this event is happening Thursday, March 14th, Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library. This is Washington, D.C. And you could definitely go ahead and register for this event as well. In regards to the payment for this one is actually $0.00, so it's free. Definitely check that out if you are in the D.C. area. You can register there. Again, it's going to be March 14th in Washington, D.C. And like I said, all these events you can find at blacktechglobal.com. So go ahead and check out blacktechglobal.com for events in your area, and we'd love to see you there. And so if you know any events that are not listed on Black Tech Global, hit me up, and we could definitely chat about it more. But we have something else to talk about, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
This story right here is one that's going to be, it's going to be a lot. Before I do that, the conversation in the chat has been good. Scott's been saying, going back to the last conversation with Elon, he said he's trying to cover all the Tesla recalls. Amen. He's trying to cover all the Tesla recalls. I don't know. I find that hilarious. He's trying to cover all of them. And then Mitch said, he said he's probably trying to recoup that Twitter money too. Try to get back what he might have lost there. But man, that he's doing his thing. What I gotta tell y'all about this next section is called we're calling it the Instagram Hackathon. The Instagram Hackathon. But listen, this has to do with somebody who you may know or you may not know, but he's a prominent figure, a social media figure that works with a lot of creators, and he actually is a part of Think Media. Before I go on, somebody said that Elon was a VC, an angel investor. Yeah, so that makes total sense. So see,
early on.
He's like, I want my money. So regarding to this situation, if you don't know the brother, his name is Omar, right? And so over the past week, he had a situation, and I'm going to try to break this down because this could happen to anybody.
It really can.
So there's been a trend on Instagram, y'all, where people have lost their accounts and they're like, oh man, I lost my account. I have X amount of followers. What do I do? And then there's this quote unquote savior that comes along and says, hey, I see you lost your account. I can help you retrieve your account for $2,000-$3,000. Just give me about 20-30 minutes. What is your email address? What is your telephone number? So I could help remedy the situation. And then lo and behold, the person says, oh my goodness, I do Instagram for my business. I do Instagram for X, Y, and Z. Thank you. You're such a lifesaver. Right? So they go ahead and do this. and then lo and behold, your service is restored. Right? And you're like, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. So this is what happened to Omar, right? Omar is preparing for a huge event. And again, Omar's from Think Media. I'm not going to show his face, but I'm going to show his Instagram because you'll understand at the end of this why I'm not doing that. But he's a part of Think Media. He does a lot of great things. And this, a couple weeks ago, he's leading up to an event and his Instagram goes down. First time it ever happened to him, he freaks out. He's like, oh my gosh, I have a huge following there. And so a friend of his basically reached out to him and said, after they found out about it, they're like, yeah, I know a guy that helped. The same thing happened to me. And I know a guy that can help you. He helped me. All I had to do was pay him $2,500 or $2,000, right? I won't say exactly where, but this person's in East Asia, right? Let's just say that. And he's like, yeah, I they could definitely help you out. So he's like, bet, give me my information. Let me talk to them. And so they have a conversation. And the guy's like, yeah, I can help you out for $2,000. Just give me $2,000. And we're good. Don't worry about it. All straight. So the guy's like, Omar's like, all right, let's go for it. Or it was like $2,500, actually, to be honest, $2,500 to recover it. So he go ahead. And he says, all right, go ahead and do it. He texts him some information, email, telephone number, right? And so when he's doing that, another friend reaches out to him that he was basically explaining the situation. He's like, oh, that happened to you? All you need to do is send them an email, this quick email right now. And I got it back into about 10, 15 minutes. I got it back. And he's like, wait, all I have to do is send an email and I could get my Instagram restored in about 10, 15 minutes. I have to just send it to Instagram. So he decided to do that. But let me give you a little bit more insight though. The guy said, give him 20, 30 minutes tops. he'll get it taken care of. 20 minutes tops. It's been over an hour and it wasn't restored yet. So Omar's like, okay, I'm not feeling this right now. And so he decides to basically follow the advice of the other friend that said, hey, just email them. That email them X, Y, and Z and they'll restore it. And he did that and they restored it in 10 minutes. So he's like, oh, I'm sitting pretty. I'm good. Listen, the story gets crazy after this. You would think it's all good. So he decides to message the person that was recommended him from East Asia, right? He decided to say, hey, listen, I'm all good. Thank you for your services, but I don't need it. I took care of it. And the guy said, listen, I told you not to do anything. I said I was going to do it. Yada, yada, yada. Like, you still, we had a contract. You owe me $2,500, right? And just to give you insight, prior in that same conversation he had with them, while they're talking, he's talking about how this brother from East Asia is talking about how he basically took, you know, he got money for doing this. Like, he does like two or three of these a day. He blew about 400 grand last year in gambling, and he's basically between Dubai and stuff like. Scammer ringers are at that point. The scammer sirens are raging in my mind, but he's talking about that, right? And then he said to Omar, "Listen, if you don't pay me, I could just shut it down. I could just shut down your account." And Omar's like, "I just got my account back. Go ahead, shut my account down, right? Like, go ahead and do this thing." Long story short, he shut his account down. He shut Omar's account down. So Omar's like, okay, I got my account shut down before. Let me go ahead and just send a message to Instagram. This time Instagram says your account is permanently shut down. So he is like, oh, this is serious now. I don't know how it got this bad. And so now Omar reaches out to another friend who's actually doing it. And keep in mind, while he's reaching out to a bunch of people, another person comes to him and says, offers him $2,000 to do it. He's like, I ain't doing that again. I ain't falling for the okie doke again. But he basically found this guy who's kind of like behind the scenes, knows people at Meta, all this sort of stuff. And he's like, listen, this is what we got to do. And so he's giving him a bunch of different things to do. And he's constantly in a pattern of getting this is why we call it Instagram hackathon. He's getting his account back. It's getting shut down again. He's getting his account back. He's getting shut down again. He's like, okay, try this, try that. And it just is back and forth. And then they pause and said, and he's like, Omar's like, wait a second. This guy has my email address and he has my phone number. So he's probably seeing every time I get my account reactivated again and again and again. And he just has a bot that is shutting it down. And just to give you insight, how is this guy doing it, you may say? Literally using bots to report that Omar's real account is a fake account based off his identity and saying, oh, you see the picture here? That's not the real Omar. Report, 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 report. And you have all these bots flooding the reports at one time. And now Omar, you know, now Instagram is like, oh, or Meta, I should say, is like, oh, the system automatically flags you for not having it. You're shut down. So he literally had to go get a new email, literally had to go get a new account set up. Not a new account set up, but he had to do some different things that I won't talk about right now. You got to go check out the conversation that he has on his podcast about it, the department, to kind of find out all that he had to do, because I don't want to expose him too much. But I wanted to share this because this could happen to anybody. You don't want to get got, right, in these online streets where somebody could basically say, oh, you know, you lost your account. I could do it for $2,000. No problem. I'll take care of that for you. There's a lot more into that story, but because of time, I'm going to pause there. But if you were Omar, what would you have done?
Boy, that's cold as ice, man. Yeah. I don't know. I probably would have did the same thing up front, like tried to, you know, get it back, get your stuff back. Okay, this is how you say do it. Okay, let me try it. But listen, yeah, man, I just start a new one. Give me another one. What I need to do to start a new Instagram, man. I'm not. And first of all, I guess now that I wouldn't have thought twice, just like him. But now that now that I'm hearing the story, I can't give anybody my information. Mm-hmm. Are you? I need to see. I need to see your meta badge, man.
And let me see. Another thing. That's another thing. Like, he was paying for that blue check. He was playing. He was already paying for the blue check.
Yeah.
And he still didn't get the protection that he needed from this.
That's wild. That's another thing to think about. Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah. Now give me another account, man. I'll make a new one. Ain't no thing.
And you know how vicious the scammer was? The scammer was so vicious that he actually got his wife's account shut down. That's how.
Oh no.
She had like 1,000 people following her or something like that. Yeah. It's been small. And he was just like, he's like, listen, I'm going after the whole.
But that's some foul stuff right there.
It's personal.
That's some, he been watching too many movies, man. You know how on the movies, they're like, yo, you know what? If you don't give me my money, I'm gonna go to your family. Yeah. I'm gonna get your family. He's doing that kind of stuff, man. Except obviously it's the digital version. That's crazy.
I mean, and there's some, you know what? Here are some things I would say, because he actually has some good key takeaways that I want to share with our audience that I think would be really helpful. And before I do that, I'm going to go to the comment section. Darcel says, I don't even have followers like that. They can take my account. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm honestly the same way. I don't have a lot of followers on Instagram. That's not my primary place. YouTube is. But I'm thinking about what he said. I'm like, you know what? There's some wisdom in what he said in the end, for sure. Mitch is agreeing, like, shake my head, like, really, y'all, you going that heavy, like going after the wife? Like, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like, he had to have one of his team members go on like a deep search on Reddit, or he didn't even have them do that. The teammate would just do it because he was just like racking his brain about it.
Try,
and they have some real PTSD from this. But one of the things he kind of was saying is, you know, what he learned from it was, you know, he got a revelation of how Instagram account hacking could work, how basically to successfully do your account recovery, like we just talked about. And Ty Smith said, yikes, yeah, you know, it's real. And dealing with extortion, because here's the thing, that same friend that recommended him to that person, she didn't know she got. That same scammer can literally go to their account again next year and said, oh, it happened again. Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it for an additional $2,000. Now you're at ransom. You know what I mean? And so she didn't even know she got gat. And so that's a whole situation there. Learning from experience and protecting against future attacks. So he learned about, that was one of the takeaways. But really what he was saying at the end was prioritizing. These are three things he said. Prioritizing. And what's up, the Wide Network? The Wide Network is in the building. Good morning. Good morning, y'all.
Hey.
Good morning. Oh, and Scott, you get a good point. Like, I deleted both Instagram and Facebook, so nothing from them to shut down. I ain't mad at you, man. I ain't mad at you for that. No meta getting you for sure. And that's another thing he mentioned, that basically by having a Facebook account, it actually helped him. Because when you have someone with Facebook ads, like, and you run Facebook ads and you have a business Facebook business page, they kind of prioritize you a little bit more, which is sad because that means you had to put money in it to get taken care of, which is another thing altogether. But real quickly, those three points before we move on to the other parts of the show: prioritizing audience ownership and community building. That's number one. He says prioritize audience ownership and community building. The importance of audience data ownership and off the platform community building is so paramount. And Ty, we were talking about this the other day. Strategies for promoting email lists and engaging cross platforms. He's now prioritizing that more than ever. Building a multi-platform content strategy. So you're not necessarily focused on just one platform, but you have enough to go other places and you're building this way. So if somebody takes it down, it's like, listen, I'm good. I have X, Y, and Z going on these two places, two or three places as well. And then he says evaluating platform verification and support. Disappointment with how Meta basically worked with their verification system and support and customer support. Let him look and see them a little differently now. And exploration of alternative verification methods and third-party assistance is what he would encourage people to do right now. So those are the three things. Prioritize audience ownership, have a multi-platform content strategy, and evaluating platform verification and support. Those were the key takeaways from that, which I totally agree with.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's necessary.
It is necessary. Yeah. And Yeah, so necessary. No, you're good. I was just repeating what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with that, you know, we have people who are willing to take advantage of others to get up or higher, right? But then there's another way to be able to get that done, and it's a right way, right? And that's just making big bets, whether that's on yourself, whether that's on your company. And so that is the next thing that we're going to be talking about here, is making big bets and companies who have stood the test of time from making big bets. And that's companies like Microsoft. We saw a big bet that they just did with OpenAI. We talked about that last week, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got Microsoft, you have T-Mobile, and you have Amazon. And these are all companies who are thriving in like chaotic environments. And one way that they're able to do that is because they've mastered the art of big bets. And so we basically came across an article that was talking about that, how making big strategic bets can build durable businesses, and as employees can build you a strong tenureship in turbulent times from doing that. And so there in the article, it talks about a book. It's called Big Bet Leadership. And that's really, it's really a playbook on how to make these big bets and how they've gotten those lessons from Microsoft, from Amazon, T-Mobile, and SpaceX as well. But three mega forces are identified as potential defining factors for people and businesses in the economy. And that's disruptive technologies, aging workforce, and increasing spending on entitlement programs, right? And so basically these we're talking about these companies, they've mastered these parts, right? So when you think about disrupting technologies, like what are they able to do and come up with to literally make sure that their technology and their stuff stays in line with where the world is going, but where not only just technology, but where literally we can see the world is going this way, right? So, and we just, like I said, we mentioned it last week. One way that Microsoft did that is, hey, you know what? We're not going to get ahead of OpenAI and Sam Altman. So let's partner with them. Let's put our money in there and keep it going, right? I think these companies, and we should as well, they've learned from other companies like, you know, Blockbuster, missing out on Netflix. Well, I mean, hey, listen, sometimes you have to eat that bullet. Like, hey, man, maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I need to like maneuver and position myself in a way that I can consult now. Right now I'm in a consulting phase. So that's what they could have done. Like, hey, you know what? We're Blockbuster. We're old. Netflix, let's see what you got, and we can kind of help you maneuver and get through. And we could have still been seeing those blue buildings with the yellow, you know, we've still been saying that. Yep. But we didn't, because they didn't understand at the time that, hey, man, we know what we're doing. So making those big bets, you got the author of the book, Big Bet Leadership. There's two authors. It's John Rossman and Kevin McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And they just really give importance of big bets and the need for companies to adapt with change. And not just companies, y'all, but even us as individuals. Yeah. In our everyday lives, we have to really figure out how to maneuver life. And as times change, as we move into different spaces, how can we insert ourselves in that space and really continue to ride the wave of staying ahead of the curve? Because otherwise, you know, that's when you start seeing people who end up getting really left in the past. Right. And they're like, oh, well, this is how we've always done it. It should stay like this. And the world is saying, hey, man, we ain't stand like nothing. We're going to keep moving. Yeah. And we don't care if you go with us or not. That's the harsh reality. So we got to always stay on top of that, adapt to the situations that's coming. And really, as employees, for sure, keep our ears to the street. And then maneuver, especially in this tech industry, when we know things are changing. Like at one point in time, it was what, every 6 months, you know, new tech and new, and the world, it's probably faster than that now. I mean, you know, so yeah. We got, I mean, it's one of those things where, hey, it seems like a lot of work, but maybe up front, but on the back end, that makes it a whole lot easier in your life, you know, if we're able to do that. So big bets, Joseph, what do you think about that, man? And making big bets in career.
Yeah, I think that having big bets in career is huge because, you know, we all kind of took a bet, myself and I, in regards to getting into tech. And what did we do was we saw that the trend was moving this way. We decided to do research. We decided to do as much as we can to get ourselves in positions to be working in this industry. But that was a big bet. That was a lot of sacrifice. That was kind huge. But even now, we still have to be vigilant and we still have to look and see the trends and see where things are going and seeing how we can maneuver to the next thing and make another bet, you know? And then the bet is really on, first of all, trusting God for us. Like, okay, God, we're going to go. And also doing the research, understanding, and then acquiring the knowledge that we need in order to make the proper decision to move forward, you know, and then make the right choices to do so. So this is essential. And then also in your careers, like this is essential. So I would recommend getting that book. In fact, I do have it here and I put some links in the comment section as well. But in case you want to know how the book looks, you could go and see it right here. Big Bet Leadership. It's a book right here. It actually has the hardcover that came out February 27th, 2024. So definitely check out that book. Yeah. So definitely check it out. But there are key takeaways that you can have in regards to just, again, looking at these large companies, how they move, and adopting it for yourself as well. That's what we're trying to share here, is that you could definitely adopt these skills that these big companies are doing for yourself and be able to then use it for your benefit moving forward. And not just a career, but in life.
Yeah, because a lot of times, man, and for good reason, right? But a lot of times, people can talk you out of just even betting on yourself, right? There's a certain amount of confidence that you have to have in your own self to be able to make a bet on yourself, right? Like, hey, yeah. I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to do something different, or I'm going to learn a new skill or go back to school, whatever it is for you. It takes a certain amount of like guts to be able to do that. And if you talk to the wrong people, they can talk you right out of what could be the blessing on the other side, right? Because they're telling you and having you look at only the negative points or the walls that you have, you're going to have to go up against. Well, you know, if you go back to school, you know, you're not going to have as much time, you know, you might have to stay up a little later, you know, a few days and a few nights a week, et cetera, et cetera. And that they leave it right there.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, that's all you're thinking about. Well, yeah, I might not be able to do that for a long period of time. But then if you talk to the right people and you say, hey, you know, it's the same words, but it's a little bit different. Hey, you know, you are going to have to spend some late nights, but it's going to be worth it at the end. You know, look at all these extra jobs that you're going to be able to now qualify for just from being able to do that. Right. It's so many things that, you know, hey, there's risk to everything. If you got out of the bed
if you walk out your house,
get out the bed, if you get out the bed,
yes,
like really, could you know, there, hey, you're so drowsy that you got out the bed and you tripped, hit your head on the door frame,
God forbid, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so if you got out of the bed, you took a certain amount of risk. You get on the road, there's a certain amount of risk. So, I mean, in life, it's all married, risky.
There's a certain amount of risk.
It's all risky. You know what I mean? So you have to take it. And it's just a matter of, how did I put it before? Calculated risk, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, so not just going out on your own and doing it right. But like you said, hey, let's put God in the equation. Let's count up the cost and then we got to go for it.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm going to go to the comment section real quickly here because there's some good comments here. The Wide Network said, this is why I continue upgrading my skills.
Importante.
Yes. Muy importante. And then Ty Smith says, I agree, from partnerships on the way up form partnerships on the way up, form partnerships to stay relevant, and keep betting on your peers. Wow, let me pause right there. Keep betting on your peers. You know what I'm, you know what I say? That's all good, because you're growing up. You're right now with some people that are going to be the future leaders of tomorrow, future leaders of 2 days from now, right? Like they're building and they're doing things that are in an imaginative state, a creative state, and even might have be like the seed or the bones of something. A lot of people may not have the vision to see it, so it's hard for them to kind of partner with that. But if you are on the ground floor and you could see, I might not see the whole vision, but I could partner with this person because I believe in them. That's huge. So definitely great point there as well, Ty. Mitch said, big bets coincide with preventive analysis and analytics.
That's for sure.
Analytics, that's so good. All data-driven. So that's a lot of what they do. They make these bets off of data. It's absolutely true, and Y Network agrees. And Zoya, which your hat is right there, Uncapped, is a great example of this. She just recently announced that she left a huge company, a company that was growing really fast, really well, to start with her own thing. And so, definitely a good point there. Mitch said, talking about risk management. That's right. And Y Network says, I'm all for betting on myself and taking those risks. I feel as though skills is currency in this climate. Yes, skills are currency for sure.
That's facts.
Yeah,
that's facts.
That's a wise way to think about it. And then I have a story to share. But while I have that story, I'm going to put up this question for the audience, and we could just have this question linger while I have this story. I share the story. But what big bet will you make in your career right now? Like, what big bet? And I'm not going to change that. Because we talk about careers, let's just bring it more specifically to even life. Like, what big bet will you make in your life? Because career is only one facet of it, even though we want to talk about it. But let's talk about our lives. Like, there's some things that we need to let go of. And you said earlier, you were talking about big bets, right? And how people could kind of say something to try to deter us. And it reminded me of something I was reminded of this morning, which was, and it's more of a pop culture thing, but I think it's definitely something we could talk about. Back in the, not too long ago, Tabitha Brown was able to retire her husband, who was a 15-year cop. You know, and basically that made news. And some people had, a lot of people had some pleasant things to say about that. But one of the things that was negative was something that Wendy Williams said. And she basically was like, you know, I've been there, I've done that. That's like, that was a wrong move, basically. And Tabitha came back with so much grace. for you, right? But here's the thing. Sometimes people will speak into our big bets. They don't see the vision one, but they might speak because of their own pain, right? They're going through
99%.
And they're projecting. They say, well, hey, listen, I did it and I failed. So you're probably going to fail too. Not knowing that, you know, Tabitha and her husband had a conversation for a long time. They had like Mitch said, they did all the data. They said, this is what we need to get here. He even pushed it off because he's like, nah, I don't, you know. But she's like, listen, your job is a risky job. You're a police officer. You've been working. You've been holding us down for so long. Things have been working well for me in my sector. I'm starting to get all this money now. I want to keep my husband alive. Let's retire you. And it makes sense. Like, they did all that before she announced it. So when somebody speaks into your situation, understand that they're speaking sometimes projecting from their own pain and not having all the data, like Mitch said, all the facts like you do. So you got to keep your head focused on the goal, because you're going to definitely get distracted by what people say. Let's go back to the comment section before. You had anything you wanted to say, though, before I go to the comment section?
No, yeah. I mean, bro, that was so good, because sometimes we don't get the full story, right? Like, okay, hey, I retired my husband. Now, I don't really know the rest of it. I remember that, but I don't remember if she mentioned the rest of it or not. But people get caught up so much on the headline, you know, headline readers, and then they just go off of that. Like, get the details. What if she's saying, hey, I'm going to retire my husband so that he can do what he actually loves doing?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's not going to work anymore. He probably will go and work, or he probably started going to work into what he actually wanted to do. But hey, Right now, what you're doing to provide for our family is extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's high risk every day. I don't know if you're coming back through that door. Mm. I want to retire you from this job.
Yeah.
Now, you have the opportunity to go and do what you really want to do in life or whatever the case may be, but you don't have to do that. But because we're going off the headline, he just going to be sitting at home. No, that's what you did. You can't base my situation off of you. And like you mentioned earlier, that's so many people, right? Yeah. It's out of love most of the time. They want to protect you, right? If you're hearing it from your family, they don't want you to get hurt. They don't want to see you fall. And so it's coming from a good place, but it's coming from their place. Yeah. From when they failed, from when they didn't go ahead and go all in on what they said that they were going to do. And so they're going off of their confidence. So they don't have a lot of confidence in themselves because they didn't follow through what they said they were going to do. So they're projecting that onto you. And if you're not careful, they can get into your heart, into your mind, and they can deter you from what, you know, never know. That's what God has for you. I'll say this and then we're out. A lot of people, they get angry at what the CEO makes at the company, or you know what the company owner makes, and it's they took the risk, right? So with big risks is big reward. They're the last ones to get paid, right? Mm. So everybody else gets paid. So for you to have the guaranteed check, they took the risk on, hey, I don't know if it's gonna pay out for me. And most of the time, if you hang in long enough, it will. A lot of times, people die out from hearing the voices and listening there before it actually formulates. But yeah, they took that chance. So with big risk is big reward. But that can happen in anything. It's not just business. You take a big risk on getting married. Hey, there's a big reward in that.
Yeah,
it's a big, you know. So it can go down the line. But anyways, we keep going.
And one more thing I want to say before we go to the comment section. But big risk does not mean that won't have big challenges in there. Does not mean that the risk was not worth taking. So when you see a challenge, please don't run. Please don't say, oh, this is a challenge. It's not worth it for me. It just means that the rewards will be that much higher. Oh, there was challenges for me getting into tech. Oh, there were challenges. I could talk about it like real quickly. Like, you know, and I say it was hard. There was times where I'm studying, trying to put a baby to sleep, reading a book. There's times where I'm, you know, driving, you know, XYZ child, picking up from school because they got sick, and I'm listening to whatever I need to listen to get the skills up, like the Wide Network said. And those are the grinding periods. Those are the periods where you have to grind, but the reward is sweeter on the other side. Now, have I arrived? Not yet, but I am not where I was before. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
So with that, man, I just want to go to the comment section. This feels almost spiritually lifting right now, which I appreciate. Thank you, Lord. Let me find the last comment. I want to go to the comment section because there's some really good comments in here. I believe, forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, but I believe it's pronounced, be conscious of the times we live in and reevaluate what is important. Value you. So good. Everyone's situation is different, Mitch says. Just like the whole 50-50 talk, do what works best for you and your family.
For sure.
Yeah, and the Y Network says exactly. Anyone can set up their marriage how they like. And then Operation Tech Takeover says, learning new skills to stay relevant in an ever-changing world. You never know when you will have to pivot. Talk about it, man. Talk about it. Because, listen, some people might have to pivot from the tech industry. You got in here, it was great, but there might be something else for you. So you never want to be too rigid. You can't move. Darcel says, becoming a full stack developer. I want to learn to code. It's a great skill in tech, so I'm betting on myself. Love it,
That's
man.
That's his big bet. Yes, sir.
Love it. And then people don't realize that life has many seasons, whether for career, finances, health and fitness, faith, spiritual. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to harp on that fitness for health and fitness, because if you don't have that, you don't have nothing. So faith first, health, fitness, second.
Yeah.
Close second, because you need a, you know,
it's right there.
And then trust me, I'm speaking from a person who's trying to, who's getting back on track to that. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's important to be growing and growing up and moving forward. Yes, no matter the age. The process of doing research to find out what tech field is a good fit to pivot into from healthcare finance. Oh yeah, man, it's so good. Yeah, Trey. Yeah, like Darcel, you were preaching. Yeah, you were definitely going there, brother. I felt that. Network says the people need to learn to be honest with themselves. Ty says just make a big bet on 3-9, starting a company to help people build an IT channel sales company. More info coming. Made a huge
bet. Yes, sir.
We talked about it. It's a huge bet.
That's a big bet, man. But one thing is for sure, one way to hedge your bet is to help others in that bet. So if it's all about you, it may or may not work. But if you're helping others, you can have everything else that you want. So that's a big bet, Ty.
Watch to say that again.
Yeah, man. You know, helping others will help. If you help enough other people get what they want, you can have everything else that you want. My guy Zig Ziglar said that.
Yeah.
And you see it all through. It's a common thing. The people who do the most in this world, they're helping a lot of people get what they want. And so if it's just about you, it may win. You may win. It may pan out.
Yeah.
You know, you may get there fast. But somebody else said, if you want to go far, go along with others. So yeah, Ty is helping others build an IT channel sales company. For some reason, it just feels like he's going to be helping a lot of other people, and it's definitely going to pan. I can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah, Ty said, "Preach."
Oh Lord.
Oh man, this is so good today. Darcel also mentioned my wife and I took a big risk to buy a house in 2020, and we are more than happy with the reward because trying to buy one now is tough.
That's same big thing. Fact.
Literally, I think it was
big facts.
Probably 2 years before the pandemic, we did the same thing, and it was risky at our time. And so imagine now. But such a good point. Such a good point. And yeah, like Operation Takeover said, there's an interview that I had with Lawrence Lockhart. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you go ahead and check that out regarding a software developer. He went from the hospitality industry working in restaurants to becoming a developer advocate. And so it's amazing that the things that you can do in transition to. Man, this has been such a good conversation, brother. This has been such a good one. And this is one that I think will linger for the rest of the week. In people's week, as they're thinking, like, man, what big bet can I make? I'm thinking now about what big bet I can make. You know, so this has been so good for me.
Calculated risk, man. Calculated risk.
Love it. Listen, if this has brought you any value today, go ahead if you haven't already and subscribe to the show. We have our own Talk That Tech show as well in regards to a YouTube channel. So if you ever want to go back and see some older episodes, they are there as well. We also do have a podcast. So if you prefer this in audio form, you could go and check that out as well at Talk That Tech Show. And I'm going to just pull it up real quickly so y'all could see it. But go ahead. And if you have not already subscribed to the channel, there's going to be all this stuff and some over there. So you could go ahead and check out Talk That Tech, again, Talk That Tech show on YouTube and wherever podcasts are sold.
Yes, indeed. So
all the good stuff is right there.
Indeed.
All right, but we can't end it without one of our favorite segments within a segment, the Brown Box Special.
You got it, or is it me? Who is it?
I could do it. I like to laugh, but I'll do it. I want to be fair. You did a lot today. All right. So here's what happened. I worked for a mortgage company as an operations team leader. I had about 6 or even 7 people working for me at any given time. One day, my boss tells me that we are closing my team down and consolidating teams, that I need to fire all but 2 people and that I could pick. Needless to say, it's a messed up day for all. 5 o'clock rolls around and my boss calls me in to thank me for doing the dirty job of firing people. Then she proceeds to tell me that I myself am being let go because of the consolidation.
Oh, bro, that's cold. Make this stuff up. Bro, that's cold, man.
Cold as ice.
You can't, like that right there. I don't even know what to say. I would be in shock, man. I'm like, hey, man, you just had me do all this. And now you don't let me go?
He's like, psych, you're going too. If we don't laugh, we're gonna cry. So
that, yeah, that's a mean get out right there, bro.
Yeah. Oh, you thought you were safe. Now I just need you to do all that stuff for me. But yeah, here's your box. It's empty.
Bro.
You can fill it now.
You go fill that up.
Yeah.
With your stuff.
Yeah, man. And then look at the comment section. Everybody's like, wow, shake my head. It's a ruthless world out here. Mitch said, wow, yeah, shake my head. Ty Smith just posted a box. And he said, wow, you know, so it's a cold world out there, man. But if you don't laugh at these things, sometimes you're going to cry. And so that's what the Brown Box Special is just to kind of bring you to a better. And now, you know what? Brown Box Special actually makes you want to get into your bigger bet sooner than later. It's just like, you know what? This is a great reminder that I need to make some big bets.
While I'm in here,
make some really crucial bets. Oh man, but yeah, that's our show for today, y'all. Thank you so much for rocking with your boys. Any last words, brother Trey?
No, man. Look, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all for rocking with us. We are on our way. So y'all are on the way to the ride with us, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, Scott said, oh, you thought I was feeling you. Nah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. But yes, thank you for tuning with us on Talk That Tech Show.
It's the number one tech morning show in the world. We're going to see y'all in the next one.
Peace and elbow grease.